Man, I am looking forward to this conversation. It may be an uncomfortable conversation for many, but also a very enlightening conversation if you ask me. It's relating to employee rights. And I ask the question verbatim. How well do you know your rights in the workplace? Do you actually know them? Are you actually aware of what the rights say when it comes to the amount of hours you need to work, when it comes to the type of environment you should be working in, when it comes to leave, when it comes to all sorts of different various things? How well do you know your rights in the workplace? And this is a place, this is a conversation rather, that we need to be having as often as possible, because more often than not, we find ourselves in a place where you get into the workplace at a young age after graduating or whatever the situation may be, and no one really talks you through what are some of the things you ought to look out for as you step into the workplace. And that's why we're having this conversation, to say, hey, please take note of the following things if you find yourself as an employee, as an employer, as a up-and-coming employee, or maybe you're in a place where you're saying, hey, I'm about to go for an interview and I'm just like, man, are there certain things I can look out for that could be red flags that speak about the place I'm about to work in? Or are there certain things that I should be focusing on? Well, joining me this afternoon in the studio is Andre de Villiers, who is a labor consultant, who is a retired labor consultant. And he chats to us to kind of lean into his experience, his background, his knowledge from years and years of being in the field of labor law, sitting in parliament in so many different places, and even lecturing at some point in time. And now he's just saying, hey, I've seen this so many years and I'm able to share a little bit into that page. Andre, thank you so much for joining us. It's really such a pleasure to be chatting to you.
Cozy, good afternoon. Thank you ever so much for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
I mean, if we think about the concept of labor law, the assumption is that everybody knows it. The assumption is that everybody is aware of it. I know there's a lot of workplaces where they've got the basic conditions of employment chart that's stuck on a wall somewhere. But is it a true reflection if I was to say that actually everybody knows the labor law, or is it a reflection that people actually don't know?
There, you're quite right, because it's an unfortunate thing a lot of people do not know. Mm. I mean, it's a minefield out there. There's an enormous amount of stuff that actually goes wrong. It's on record, things that really go way out in the workplace, and employers taking advantage of it. They checking out on the profits of the company, where can we exploit, what can we do, with as little can we get away with. And as time goes on, employees find themselves in very difficult circumstances. They do not know how to address these things. They know very little about the grievance procedure within companies, fault on the side of management. Management knows everything about the disciplinary side. They'll grab them whenever they need to. And but there is, fortunately, we do have in South Africa, we've got the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, Act 75 or 79, which in fact regulates, it sets the workplace. It's not a battlefield. It sets the rules for the workplace so that the employee knows exactly what he or she is entitled to. Mm-hmm. Working hours in the interview, normally it just goes top of the mind with any employees. I need this job. I need to put my best foot forward, and not very much concerned about the rules in the workplace. That only hits them once they're in the workplace. And in many cases, you're going to find, but how should I have known this? Something went wrong here. I would say that there's an enormous amount of responsibility inside of management. We look at the rights of management. A lot of people say all sorts of rights. Basically, I think there's only one right, and that is to manage.
Yeah.
Is to manage the things which pertains to its. I would say its most important asset, which is human resources. In other words, people working for me. How do we manage these people?
Yeah.
Things go wrong, and there's a lot of things. So there's rules and regulations in the workplace. Many companies have got little booklets that publish these things. What's working hours? When you've got a problem, where do you go to? The do's and the don'ts. It's all there. But many companies don't do this. They just go and say, well, here we go.
Yeah. And I mean, I know for a lot of people, it's a thing of the company will say one thing, but actually practiced and lived out is a completely different story.
Yeah.
Now, Andre, I kind of want to paint a picture of someone working in an organization. You kind of carry on and you're doing life as normal, and you pick up an organization's culture and you notice, okay, this is actually how it works. Like you're rightfully saying, when it comes to disciplinary booklet, man, that comes quicker than payday.
Very, very good.
Because they've got that on shorthand and very close by. But if I find myself in a place where I'm working in an organization, what are certain Because you go through the basic conditions of Employment Act, it would be quite rigorous of all the different things that it says. Mm-hmm. But I'm certain there's certain things that one would say, at the very least, ensure that this company's got these three, four, five things in place when it comes to protecting you as an employee, that should you see that it's not in place, this is relating to the working hours or whatever it may be, should you see that they're not in place, this may be some sort of a quote-unquote red flag to you that something might be wrong in the employee rights.
That is correct. If you look at the rights of employees, they've got rights to be employed in a decent and reasonable manner, fair labor practices. The old golden saying, as a manager, do unto others what you have done to yourself. I mean, if you're in a situation where you're letting an employee having it from whichever angle, you're abusive, etc., stop for a minute and just say, I'm going to put myself in the shoes of the bloke I'm talking to. If you're not going to like what's coming your way, surely he's also she's not liking that either.
Yeah.
Yes, no, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which is the, let's say, the regulator in the workplace, everything is in there. It spells it out. Hours of work, resignation periods, sick leave, family responsibility leave, which has only been on the books for a couple of years. To lose your job by the old American saying, you're fired. There's no such thing in South Africa. You've got to go through a fixed set of reasons why, and it's got to be very specific, and you've got to follow a fair procedure. And this is normally entailed in a company's disciplinary procedure. It's a thing which should be made known and available to all employees. Don't find somebody sitting in the canteen and saying, you know about the disciplinary process and procedure of the company. No, not quite, but somebody told me it's in the manager's bottom drawer in his desk. That's no good. It's got to be in your bottom drawer at your desk.
Yeah.
Looking at proper warnings and investigating matters, and just be fair. Just be fair. It's a funny thing. There is no real definition of fairness. What is fair? Fair is something that you feel.
Yeah.
It's right inside your heart. You know. That is fairness. If something happens and you can say, hey man, I wouldn't like this sort of thing coming my way, you must know it's unfair. Yeah, unfair labor practices, plenty of it.
Yeah.
Labor court loaded with it, CCMAs, bargaining councils, you name it. Employers just going off the hook, couldn't care a sausage about nothing. Let the poor employee have it and out the gate and there you go, bye. Good riddance, I say. Your day is coming.
Yeah, because the law is in the favor of the employee to make sure that they are absolutely protected.
Absolutely.
Let's speak to someone who is now, maybe they're about to go for an interview, they're in the interview process and they're doing different stages of it. And you know how there's that moment where they say, do you have any questions?
Mm.
I'd like to think that would be a key time to actually find out about the organization's culture.
Absolutely.
What would you say are the key things? Because you could ask, how's the company culture? And they'll say, oh no, it's amazing, which amazing is very subjective, like fairness. What are some things that one could say in that room, put on the table as a question, that would expose how they are mindful of an employee's rights?
If one looks at the situation where an employee goes, a potential employee goes for an interview, and sits down, and what has really appealed to me in the past is where somebody would sit in front of you and has made a thorough study of your business, your company, the who's who in your setup, who's the boss man, where does he or she comes from,
Yeah. And
what have you done? Are you on the stock exchange? Are you listed? Are you making money? Or just floating around? Makes a tremendous impression. To come back to the question of employers' rights, is that the employee sits there and should know that the employer has got rights, most definitely, but also obligations towards those rights. You cannot just go and fire off the hip on anything, move people around, it's like, I don't like you there, or I don't like your face, blah, blah, blah. You've got to follow very specific reasons, because the twin of the disciplinary procedure is the grievance procedure. In other words, the employee says something has gone wrong. Now, how do I bring it to the attention of management? A lot of people don't know. Management, in many cases, fail because they believe they've got the upper hand. They've got their pistol is named disciplinary procedure, and they use it. Make no mistake, they use it. So the grievance procedure, yes. Say how it's done. What do? You put it in writing. You've got to put it in writing. Any grievance that an employee do not get reduced to writing is not a grievance. The reason for that, management don't know about it.
Sure.
It'll only get to its attention once it's put into writing and you give it to management, and then you as the employee complaining about something or putting a grievance in has only got one question in your mind, which you can actually put to management, is what are you going to do about this and when?
Mm.
A big question. Don't just leave it in the air. It won't go away. It sits there, because I have experience with students in the past many times. When an employee brings a grievance to you in writing or puts it down, presents it to management, at that particular moment in time, that's the most important thing in his or her life.
Sure.
She could have done something else, but now I'm bringing this to the attention of my manager, and I want a reaction. What are you going to do about this? And a lot of this, unfortunately, goes on the wayside. It's overlooked. Employees sit down and you find that in disciplinary exercises, how often grievances actually come up. There's a person that's been dragged in to answer to something that went wrong, and out of the blue, this pops in and you say, shucks, man, I never knew about it. Why didn't you speak to me about this?
Yeah.
And then sometimes the game changes completely. It goes into another direction.
Now the grievances come out during a disciplinary moment. Andre, there's something that becomes complicated. 2025, love it. Great year. We're advancing. Technology growing. Beautiful. But there's the world of technology that's now complicating things. And I speak about it in terms of technology, but if I double click into it, I'm speaking about social media. And this is where it also gets a little bit interesting. We've seen it over the last couple of years, because we're all trying to integrate what the world of social media means for the world of work and how the two integrate. And we've seen different cases popping in and out of the CCMA courts and whatever. But what is my legal right when it comes to my independence to what I put out on social media and its impact with the work world and what I'm having, how it impacts and influences my contract at work based on what I'm putting out on social media, where you sometimes see in interviews, they would say, give us your social media, we'd love to do a check before we actually employ you or not, based on what we see there.
Of course, it's a very, very sensitive matter. It's a very thin line. We know, as you correctly said, it's part and parcel of modern life today. Communication systems, or your cell phones, PCs, is part of your life. It's like the air that you breathe. Mm. But it's how you use it. And what I would like to point out here is that there are rules and regulations in companies. Depend entirely on the sort of business. In many cases, you would have very sensitive stuff. That is a lot of intellectual property of companies, and people see they are exposed to these things. You cannot just go and blow these things out to all and sundry, to your mates, the bloke you had a beer with the week last, something happened. So incidentally, I mentioned it to you. Here are the facts. You're going to put your foot into it. Mm. It is very, very dangerous. The platforms, WhatsApps, the sort of thing people do use. Yes, there are companies, especially on the sales floors. I mean, people in the sales game without a cell phone and WhatsApp, and there's no business. And but it's how you use it and what you decide to put on there. It is also very enticing at times to put stuff on there where you actually mock somebody, or you belittle somebody, or you actually blow out confidential stuff out into the world. You can end up in big trouble. You're not allowed to do that. The thing is that it's not only hearsay, it's very solid, hard, proven evidence. Stuff that's on a cell phone can be downloaded and it's there, and you can't get out of it. So you've got to be careful. Don't make your personal lives and your horrors that you have at home part of your workplace, and deal it with your colleagues. Keep it like that. Your information overload, all sorts of things. Eventually, you have a complete a botch up between whatever work responsibilities and your own private responsibilities, and you've got your little cell phone in your pocket. Now you don't know which way you're going here.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful for that.
Sure. And this is something that I think over the next couple of years we'll continually see become a conversation point. Absolutely. Because of the involvement of technology. Andre, this has been very insightful. I feel enlightened in terms of from a perspective of an employee, but also I think there's many employers that's also realizing just the role they have to play in ensuring that this is done really well and fair. Before I let you go, for someone who might be listening to this conversation and they feel like, man, in my workplace, this is not something that's done well, or I want to get more information, or I just want to be able to reach out to someone, where can they go where they can either get more information or just be able to just check out if what they're seeing is a bit of a concern?
Of course, there's an enormous amount of information available on the internet. You can actually just label it with your specific wording. It's there. There are people outside, I used to be, but you can consult with people, talk to them. And then again, on the other hand, is a very easy way to get specific answers for specific questions is go to your nearest Department of Employment and Labor, which is the old Department of Labor. There are inspectors very well trained. These people will give you exactly what you need, unbiased, and they know you can go as a manager, you can go there as an employee, you can go there. Yeah. And you pick up first-hand information. Yes.
Andre, thank you. Retired, but man, that brain is still got so much wisdom, and we're able to tap into it. Thank you so much for chatting to us this afternoon and really just lightening the load where so many people are a little bit chained into not knowing how to go about it because they just feel like, man, I just don't know what is right and what is wrong. And I understand, before I let you go, on the brink of us celebrating something as beautiful as love, I understand you and your wife have been together for 58 years.
And of course, that is correct.
That yes. is incredible. That is really incredible. If you were to say one thing to someone about nurturing love and marriage for so many years, what would you say?
I just want to give you a little bit of background. She's sitting outside, my old school girlfriend.
I met her at school. She started looking when I started speaking.
I met her at school. She was, I think, in grade 7 and I was in matric. And it went from there. Okay, 4 beautiful children. Yes, the big thing, success, lovable success in married life is take and give. It's not just a one-way direction.
Ooh.
You've got to watch it. Mm. The minute that you say, me, I, and myself, your marriage is out into the dustbin. It's two managing directors in one company, you and your wife.
Mm.
Equal powers.
This is gold. This is gold. Andre, thank you very much. It was a great pleasure to chat to you, to meet you, and of course, to just be able to learn so much from you. Thank you.
And Cozy, thank you ever so much. Thank you for having me, and have a good evening. Thank you.